We have all kinds of things. Jay Crawford, Molly McGrath, but most importantly,
yes,
and I know he's a Philly guy, we have Stephen A. Smith. It is so good to see you
my
again.
Buddy. How you doing, man? It's
I'm
good
well.
To see you, man. How's everything?
Everything
going?
Good?
Hi there. How are you?
I'm good. Stephen A., how you doing?
I'm doing all right. What did this man do to get you to sit next to him?
All
Come
sorts
on.
Of good things. Are you kidding? It's
you.
Been a pleasure working with him
That's
all
my
week.
Man.
Now,
this is my guy.
We know you're a Philly guy, but right before we went on, you just said, I chose the Eagles to win this game until I heard what Alshon Jeffrey said. Now, Alshon Jeffrey, in an interview, guaranteeing an Eagles win, saying that they're going to bring that trophy back to Philadelphia. He's a believer. If you speak it, it will be. I understand that part of it, but you have to hate that he is guaranteeing a win, especially
well,
with Bill Belichick.
Well, listen, it doesn't matter to me. When I root, I usually, even though I'm a native New Yorker who worked in Philadelphia for 17 years, I love me some Mr. Kraft. Everybody knows that. I am partial to Mr. Kraft. But the bottom line is I just thought that looking at the Eagles from top to bottom outside of the quarterback position, I just think they're more athletic. They have more weapons. They can make more plays. More importantly, when you look at how they lost two Super Bowls to the New York Giants, they lost it because they were able to get to the quarterback, meaning Tom Brady, using just four and dropping seven in the coverage. You can do that if you're the Philadelphia Eagles, in my estimation, in a game like this, which is why I thought, you know what? This will be a nail biter, but they could win this game. But then Alshon Jeffrey opened his mouth. And you don't open your mouth to Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. You just don't do it. I don't think it's smart. I don't think it's wise. And now it has me thinking that my pick is going to be totally, totally wrong. I had Philadelphia winning a game like this 31-27.
Wow.
Now I'm not so sure if it's not going to be the other way around. All because Alshon Jeffrey opened his mouth.
You're saying not so sure. So you're not flipping your pick. You're still saying Eagles, but you're a little concerned.
I'm not going to lie to you. I damn near ready to flip the pick. Maybe I'll make it official tomorrow, but I'm damn near ready to flip the pick. This is Tom Brady we're talking about here.
Right.
This is the greatest quarterback of the generation in terms of his credentials. Bill Belichick, we all know how fantastic he is as a coach, how thorough he is. 2 weeks to prepare against Nick Foles. You know, in that regard, the odds are stacked against Philadelphia, but in every other way, it appears to be stacked against New England.
Yeah, one of the things that I love talking sports with you about is it's not just basketball, it's not football, baseball, it's the whole thing.
Yep.
And I want you to, if you can, put into historical perspective what we've seen from the Brady Belichick regime the last 17 years. Compare it, Stephen A., if you will, to anything we've seen in all of the sports. Where does it fit in?
The gold standard. There is nothing comparable in my estimation. You could say the San Antonio Spurs probably, but I saw them get spanked by the Los Angeles Lakers with Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe. I saw, ultimately them fade a little bit when Kobe and them went back to three NBA finals when he had Andrew Bynum and a Pau Gasol. And so when you look at the Patriots, there's been no single team in the National Football League that's been able to disrupt their dominance. There have been people that have gotten in the way of them winning championships, but there's been no standard upon which you could compare the standard that they established and said, hey, these teams are on this level, if not having eclipsed this level. You can say that about the San Antonio Spurs in the sport of basketball, not with football. Do you understand that with first of all, Tom Brady goes down in 2008 in game one. Matt Castle goes 11-5.
Yeah.
Okay, secondly, every year that Tom Brady has started for the New England Patriots, they have never won less than 9 games.
Which is
unbelievable.
And that's only once. Every other year, there's been 10 or more. We're talking about a span of over 14 years where this man has done what he has done. You look at Bill Belichick, you're the coach. You have a lot to do with that. You look at Mr. Kraft and the continuity that he demands, and he's basically facilitated. The owner, the coach, and the player, three different layers, no matter what. And the word he used was tension, and I thought that was appropriate. Not dysfunction. Dysfunction is when you're losing, okay? When you're winning in spite of it, it's nothing but tension. He's absolutely right in saying that, okay? Tension, despite tension, you have a three-headed monster on three separate levels who all have found a way to come together to not mess things up year after year after year.
And check the egos.
It's something special. Well, listen, I spoke to Mr. Kraft about this briefly. Sometimes you don't check the ego. Sometimes the ego hasn't gotten checked. Sometimes you let the ego just spread its wings and fly. And still in all, you still find a way to come together and make it work. And so I just think that the man is phenomenal as a leader, as an owner. what he has represented, what he has meant to this league. And I know that Bill Belichick is an exceptional coach, and I know that Tom Brady is a great, great quarterback. It's just the way I look at him.
Yeah.
You mentioned the three-headed monster. Obviously, the Robert Kraft portion of it is going to stay consistent. Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, could be question marks in the years to come. How long do you see that part of it staying intact?
I see Tom Brady done it within 3 years.
Within three?
I'd say in about 3 years. Okay. I mean, throughout 3 years after this.
Because he
says
mid-40s, which we look at 45.
Look, man, 43.
All okay. Right. That's a good number.
All right, that's fine. I mean, oh my Lord, stop the presses. Tom Brady can't play past 43. I mean, Lord have mercy. What's going to happen to us? I mean, come on now. That's exceeding expectations in and of itself right there. Bill Belichick, I'm not so sure. And it's one of the things that folks don't talk about enough, but this is reality. The Bill Belichick that we know and love doesn't give up a Jimmy Garoppolo for just a second-round pick. Something's wrong with that picture.
Right.
A Bill Belichick doesn't give up him and Jacoby Brissett in the same season. Something's wrong with that picture.
Why did he do that?
Well, we don't know. We don't know. I don't know. I shouldn't say we. I don't know. What I will say to you, however, is this. There's been a lot of stuff that has come along with it, and as long as you have somebody like Mr. Kraft, you have a better chance of keeping Bill Belichick than most other organizations would. Now, there's been a lot of things that – there's been not a lot, but a few things that have been associated with Bill Belichick. I always say Bill Belichick. I never say the Patriots because of Mr. Kraft. When you had the whole Spygate thing and stuff like that, you know what Mr. Kraft said? And I never forget this. This is when I loved the man. He got on camera, and he sat up there, and he said, nothing will ever happen on my watch like this again.
Mm.
Period. What he's saying is mistakes happen within every organization. But let me assure you, we are going to be about doing things the right way, or you are going to be accountable to me. When players come into this organization, they have to go and talk to Mr. Kraft. He told me that personally. He meets with them. He talks to them. There is a standard of excellence that this man demands, and I personally revere him. Mm. I truly do.
When you look at Bill Belichick and what he's been able to accomplish, I guess you've got Phil Jackson in the NBA. You have Greg Popovich, who's done it with rotating players and seemingly always is in it, a lot like Belichick, no matter what. Where does he fit in for you among the all-time great coaches cross-sport?
He's top five conversation. Easy.
Sure.
And the only reason I would say top five is because you have critics and contemporaries who have pointed fingers at him and have accused him of cutting corners.
Of course.
Now, I'm not somebody that feels that way about Bill Belichick, because my attitude is this. If this man is doing something, why don't you learn to imitate it? He's been around long enough for you to figure it out.
Yeah.
I mean, if somebody is... Listen, this is what I learned about covering sports. And, you know, we cover all types of things, as Jay Crawford knows very, very well as yourself. We cover all kinds of things in the world of sports, and there's always somebody that's complaining about winners.
Mm-hmm.
How you did things, what you did to get there.
Haterade.
It's a bunch of question marks everywhere. My position is clear. If they did it one time or whatever the case, man, I understand that. My problem is when they're doing it over and over and over again, how come you haven't figured out how to do it?
Hmm.
Why haven't you? If somebody is doing something and it appears to be working, and guess what? It's not a crime or anything like that. The thing that I'm going to start asking myself is, how can I learn how to do that so I can win like you?
Of course.
I don't want to hear excuses.
Of course.
Figure it out.
People are hating.
They haven't figured Bill Belichick out. And once again, this is 10, what are we talking about, 8 Super Bowl appearances, 10 or 11 AFC championship games. Everybody just needs to be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Be quiet and go out there and figure out a way to beat the man.
So the haters will say that there should be an asterisk there because the whole Spygate thing,
yeah.
Okay? But what about Tom Brady? Is there an asterisk there at all for Tom Brady? And is he top five all time to you in terms of all athletes?
I wouldn't say all athletes, all quarterbacks, because even though it takes some athletic ability, I mean, you watch Tom Brady at the scouting combine, you never get over that, okay? The fact of the matter is, you know, you don't need to accuse him of being the greatest athlete in the world. At the quarterback position, Tom Brady is in the discussion as to whether or not he is the greatest who has ever lived.
Wait, the discussion?
I'm saying in the discussion because when we think about Joe Montana, about Joe Montana and some of the other great quarterbacks, I'm not talking about just resume. I'm talking about ability, too.
Sure.
Because sometimes you look at the times, the game, that you know, how the game was before compared to how it is now. Talk to defensive players, and they'll tell you as great as Tom Brady was, is, and as much respect as they have for him, they do lament the fact that the rules changes have affected the game so catastrophically. Yeah. They feel like you could get called for fouls for having bad breath. I mean, they think it's that bad.
Yeah.
And so when you look at it from that perspective, and then you think about the days Terry Bradshaw won his 4 Super Bowls, the days that Joe Montana won his Super Bowls, or Steve Young won his 1 Super Bowl. You think about a guy like Dan Marino who never won anything in terms of a Super Bowl, but we all know how phenomenal he was. There's so many things that come into the equation to measure it, which is why I say he's in the discussion as the greatest ever. You can debate it, but the fact is you can only debate it with a select few, and he's in that select few.
Okay. I want you to talk about the mindset of Philly sports fans.
Yep.
You know them as well as anyone.
Yep.
Hungry fan base. They had the Phillies World Series.
Mm-hmm.
After that, you got to go back to the early 80s for their last championship.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a football town more than everything else?
I can tell you the story. I can tell you the story to wipe that notion out right now.
Okay.
One of the greatest moments of my career was covering Allen Iverson and the Philadelphia 76ers when they made that run to the NBA Finals. Everybody talks about they went up against the Lakers, and Allen Iverson dropped 48 in game one, and everybody saw Stephen A. say, AI will get you one. They're going to lose, but AI will get you one. Everybody remembers that. You know what everybody forgets? A seven-game series in the semifinals against the Toronto Raptors led by Vince Carter went over a four- or five-game stretch. Either Allen Iverson or Vince Carter dropped over 50. They were going back and forth, back and forth. It's one of the most epic matchups we've ever seen. And then in the Western, in the Eastern Conference Finals, he went against big dog Glenn Robinson, who had, you know, Sam Cassell and Ray Allen. These boys, they went to a game seven in that conference finals. This is before they got to the NBA Finals. So to see the city of Philadelphia on that run, knowing they've never won a Super Bowl championship, knowing that the Phillies hadn't yet won a World Series in a very long time, because this is 2001, not 2008, knowing that, that no matter where you turn, championships just escaped this city. To see the 76ers on that run was mesmerizing, and the city was transfixed on game day. The off day, they were talking about the Eagles.
Ah, yeah.
That's what they were doing.
Yeah.
This this town that is Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, they love their Eagles. They sleep, eat, and breathe football. And they are more aware, painfully, more so than anybody else, of capturing a Super Bowl championship. And I can't think of one single city in America that wants a Super Bowl title more than the city of Philadelphia.
I've been hearing them singing in the mall all day long. You can tell that the Philly fans are flocking here to Minnesota. They're buying into the whole underdog mentality. Well, Alshon Jeffrey basically ruined that when he said he's guaranteeing a win. Can they even consider themselves underdogs, though? Top five in scoring offense defense?
You can consider yourself an underdog every day of the week and twice on Sunday when your quarterback is
Tom
Nick Foles and you're going against Tom Brady.
So you keep mentioning Nick Foles. You said that their team is way more athletic with the exception of the quarterback position. You said that when you first got here. Why do you say that? Why are you not a fan of Nick Foles?
Nick Foles is a backup. And I understand that he threw 27 touchdowns and just had two interceptions about 4 or 5 years ago when he was playing for Chip Kelly. But the reality is that since he went over there, in all likelihood, he got contaminated by playing for Jeff Fisher in St. Louis. Okay, we all get that. But the bottom line is it happened, you know, and he didn't look anything like the quarterback that was in Philadelphia. And then when he came back to Philadelphia, you had to immediately be a backup to a stud by the name of Carson Wentz, who obviously is a stud, but still in all a second-year player. You got to sit behind him because you weren't that dude. Now, you showed that you can throw the football. You can't run with the football. But you've also shown that you have a tendency to be turnover prone from time to time. So what is everybody talking about in the Super Bowl? If they're going to beat the Patriots, they can't turn the ball over. That's what they're saying. Nick Foles can't turn the ball over. He can't turn the ball over. Well, then that means you're worried about him turning the ball over, aren't you? And so if you're worried about him turning the ball over and you're worried about him not being the guy that you saw in the NFC Championship game against the Vikings or the divisional playoff game against the Atlanta Falcons, I don't see anybody around here concerned about Tom Brady. We're not concerned.
Of course
not. This is an expectation. If Tom Brady has a bad game, we'll consider it an aberration. We'll say, damn, what happened? This is not the Tom Brady we know and love. What happened? We didn't see this coming. If that happens with Nick Foles, oh, damn,
I knew it. It's Nick Foles.
I knew it.
Yeah, it's true.
I tried to believe, but I knew it. That's the difference, and that's what you have to go by.
Stephen Philadelphia, if they win Super Bowl 52, Philadelphia, if they lose Super Bowl 52, tell us what we'll see either way.
If they lose, you'll see tremendous sadness in the moment. But no matter how much they don't want to admit it, a sense of resignation, because you kind of knew.
Because
you didn't
want to
go in. Yeah. You didn't want to go in acting that way. Yeah. But in your heart of hearts, you kind of knew that, damn, we're going up against Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Lord, that's what the deal is. If you win, it's complete euphoria. The city is going crazy.
Crisco.
They better get that Crisco all and put it right all over the polls.
No school Monday, no work Tuesday.
No, there you go.
The whole week is a loss.
The parade down Broad Street and City Hall. And I mean, those folks are going to go absolutely positively bananas.
Yep.
It's going to be mesmerizing. There's no question about it. It's going to be the first time they've ever experienced this. This franchise has never won a Super Bowl championship with Ron Jaworski as your quarterback, with Randall Cunningham as your quarterback, with Donovan McNabb as your quarterback, with Buddy Ryan as your coach. The list goes on and on. They have with the Minister of Defense, Reggie White, leading your defense. You have never won a Super Bowl championship. And then Carson Wentz is out, and you got a backup in Nick Foles, and you still win a Super Bowl championship? Oh, my Lord.
We hear like house money all the time. People have told Molly and I all week, hey, the Eagles are playing with house money, so they've got nothing to lose. Do you buy that this is house money for them?
I don't buy that it's house money for them, because it's how you lose that matters. If you play a great game, but it comes down to a quarterback that can't get it done on the big stage against Tom Brady, that's different. Now, if your defense is stout, rife with athletes, speed on the defensive side of the ball, playmakers, etc., and you get smoked for 50, like San Francisco did to Denver one year.
Yeah, right?
That's a problem. Now, that's a disappointment right there. You can't have that.
If the Eagles win and Nick Foles is phenomenal, and let's say he smokes the Patriots, what happens to him?
He gets a good job going someplace
else.
Because everybody knows Carson Wentz is the future.
Yeah.
Everybody knows Carson Wentz. Nick Foles knows that. That's why they can hug and sing Kumbaya to one another and have chocolate milk with marshmallows and chill out. And Carson Wentz can limp along on his cane with his messed up knee for the time being and, you know, be all supportive, because he can't play. But the second he can play, there is no Nick Foles as a starter. You can bet the house on that.
Do they trade him or do they keep him?
Well, it
as
depends.
Backup,
you know,
depends.
You might – listen, you probably will lose them, because you can get value for a Super Bowl championship quarterback.
Right.
You get a lot of value for that guy.
Yeah.
All right? And Nick Foles knows that, and he probably still wants to be a starter, whatever. But if he was the kind of personality that says, I'm content being a backup, then you know what? That would be entirely different. But I can't imagine that for a Super Bowl championship winner.
Take the quarterbacks out of the equation for this next question. We know they have to play well for their respective teams to win. Aside from the quarterbacks – who can't have a bad day and their team still win?
Gilmore, Mitchell can't have bad days in the secondary. They've got to do something. Chung and those boys as well. It's got to matter. They can't have a bad day. Gronk can't have a bad day.
Right.
Even though Amendola showed up and showed out against Jacksonville, it's asking entirely for too much for him to do that two games in a row against two elite defenses.
It's
Gronk's going to have to be the guy that steps up and plays like the man amongst boys and handles his business, because the Eagles with Malcolm Jenkins and those boys, they're going to be throwing a lot of bodies at him. And remember, don't look at the concussion and say he's back, so you know what, we're good. Look at the concussion as what, which CTE and the studies of it all and all of that stuff has proven, once you get one, it's easier to get more.
Sure.
And so as a result, you're going to see guys, this is the Super Bowl, they're going to lay a hat on them. They're going to try to put some heat on Gronkowski. They're going to try to make him feel some punishment. And dare I say, if they have to knock him upside the head to do it, that's not beyond the pale if you're trying to win a Super Bowl. He would need to be ready for this.
Yeah, that concussion happened, Gronkowski across the middle. Do you think that's going to change how he plays, how Tom Brady targets him?
No, it's not going to change how he plays. It's not going to change how Tom Brady targets him. But it will change his ability to absorb punishment, potentially.
Right. Does it concern you that it took 10, 11 days for him to be cleared?
Doesn't matter to me.
No.
I knew he was going to play all along. My point is, when you get knocked upside your head Sunday, you're going to be able to handle it. Because you will get hit.
Who can't have a bad day for the Eagles to win?
Nick Foles.
Well, aside from the quarterback.
Nick Foles, man.
I know he's the obvious, but of the other players.
Nick Foles can't have a bad day, and who's ever assigned to guard and defend Gronkowski.
Yeah.
Okay? You can't. And by the way, probably Malcolm Jenkins, because Malcolm Jenkins is like the face of that defense. He's probably going to be your signal caller on the defensive side of the ball. You're going up against Tom Brady. You can't be too transparent. You can't be too obvious. You got to play mind tricks. One of the reasons why Tom Brady always had a problem with Baltimore is because you were going up against the great Ray Lewis. Mm-hmm. And great Ray Lewis wasn't great because he was a man amongst boys in terms of his physique, his hitman tendencies and all of this stuff. Ray Lewis was a beast to go up against because cerebrally, he was brilliant on the defensive side of the football field. He knew what you wanted to do and was able to prepare his defense for that, which was why Baltimore was consistently one of the elite defenses in football when he was on that team along with Ed Reed. Mm-hmm. They knew what the opposition was going to do, and so Tom Brady couldn't outsmart them the way that he customarily outsmarts defenders week to week.
So all that being said, what's your optimum prediction for this game? What's going to happen?
I'm going to stick with the Eagles 31-27 because I think that they got too much talent and too much depth, and I think they're going to get – the reason I'm picking the Eagles is for one reason and one reason only. I believe that front four is going to be able to get to Tom Brady.
Yeah, they're
if
good at
you
that.
Don't get to Tom Brady – don't. My prediction is wrong.
But
let
you
me
know
state
he's
that
expecting
right now.
It. Tom Brady's
doesn't
expecting
well,
that.
Well, he's always expecting it. Doesn't mean that you can withstand it. Listen, I have said it, and I didn't say this as an insult to Tom Brady, but I didn't mean it, as you well know. You know where I'm going. I have seen Tom Brady tap dance in the pocket like the late, great Gregory Hines. Now, he knew they were coming, all right? But it don't stop you from tap dancing once you feel that they have arrived.
Yep.
And if the Eagles make him feel they have arrived, Tom Brady will tap dance. Now, that doesn't mean he's not going to tap dance to his advantage, but he will tap dance. Mm. He ain't going to stand there like Braveheart, like he's the second coming of Mel Gibson or something. It ain't no big deal. I could take all this punishment. He's going to tap dance. And that's what the Eagles want with Graham and with Fletcher Cox and Long and Curry and all of those boys. And that's just the front four I gave to you.
I
didn't bring in the substitutions or the fresh bodies, and I didn't bring in the three additional linebackers to make up your front seven either. They are going to bring the rain with four. And if they can get to him with four, he's going to have a long night.
But to that end, you talk about rotation, and we know that Jim Schwartz loves to do that. If Bill and Tom go hurry up and they don't allow Philly to get those fresh bodies in and they have to play primarily with the starting four, what happens in the fourth quarter? They're not used to that fatigue. They're not used to that number of snaps.
You're right. But you also have to take into account the fact that the Patriots are so efficient offensively that they move the chains and wear you down.
Yeah.
What if you're going through three and outs like you did against the Giants?
Then your defense is fresh. So you can't let Tom move the chains.
There you go.
It's good to see you, man.
My man.
Little reunion over here.
That's right. Yes, it is. This is my man right here.
I love it. Stephen, I thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate
it. All the best.
Always good.
Take care.
See you, man.
All right.